Born in the Dead Pit. Howdy, folks, and welcome to the first Dead Pit episode of 2021. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
And I'm Uncle Bill. And good Lord, man. Like, talking about 2020, trying to find something good out of this shit. It's going to be a real trick.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be trying to do a 2020 year in review show. So... It's a kind of an interesting year, to say the least, this past year was. Only a handful of movies actually came out in theaters. I guess it would have been the first, 3 months of the year?
Yeah, and I can kind of remember, like, when all this started, I mean, when it got really, really bad, it was March, like, towards the middle of March, and then, like, you know, before that, I remember watching it on TV, the news and stuff over at Dad's, and just being like, oh, this is a bunch of bullshit and yada, yada, yada. It's not ever going to amount to anything. And then, like, right in the middle of March, it started to get real and everybody was shutting down everything. And then we were trying to figure out what to do at work. And it was a bad time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been I don't even know how to really describe it, but, I know Sarah and I were getting ready to go in the Walmarts earlier this evening. And I was thinking it, but she actually said it. I was just looking around at everybody with their masks on. And she was like, this almost doesn't seem real, does it? I mean, this is our existence now. And yeah. I was like, yeah, it's changed so much in less than a year, really. But,
you push it to the back of your mind, at least I do, like, most of the time. But then every now and then, you just look out like that and just be like, oh, my God, like, this is fucking real. Like, this is the shit that we're having to do.
Right. But, I mean, you know, I guess it's better and it's probably more healthy for everybody to try to look at the positives of 2020, which, I mean, there are some. I mean, a lot of people are really enjoying being around their families more and stuff like that. And it does give you a lot of time to watch movies. That's for sure, because you're not really encouraged to go out in the public that much anymore.
Yeah, it's true. Like, I've definitely probably bought and watched more shit now than probably at the beginning of when we started Dead Pit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because... Yeah, there's no good reason unless you absolutely have to go out and do anything.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's not really safe, especially right now, that's for sure. I mean, I know there's, and we still do get people from time to time, crazy ass fucking people that still think it's all a conspiracy and all that bullshit. Just fucking, if you're one of those people, just leave. I don't want to hear you anymore or anything. Some of the people that said, oh, after the election, COVID's going to just go away, hasn't went away.
So. Yeah, I had a lot of people that just flat out and came out and said, you know, what you would consider to be, I guess, normal, rational people in every other walk of life were like, oh, it's a Democratic conspiracy. I'm like, is it? Like, how the fuck does that help anything, really? So the conspiracy, I guess... The conspiracy would be to kill millions of people in order to get a Democrat elected. That would be the...
Right, but who would be in charge of that?
Exactly.
Especially when you got, you know, at the time, Republican president, but whatever. People will come up with... I've noticed this, and you know, I don't want to talk politics on here or anything because it's just going to piss somebody off. But one thing that I've learned about the, you know, all this election and the COVID thing and all that put together is there's just some really fucking crazy people out there in this world.
Yes, there is.
So,
I mean, you really do learn a lot from all this. You kind of learn, well, I mean, fuck, you learn like how to live without all of the, you know, what would you call that? Like, I don't know if I'd call it fancy shit, but like you, like without going out all the time and all the extra stuff that you used to do. And you learn a lot about people and how they react to like crisis pretty quick.
Yeah. So, but yeah, what this show is, and this is technically, I guess, a 15-year anniversary episode, because the very first episode of Dead Pit that we ever did was a year in review for the year 2005, which, damn, I mean, that was a long time ago.
Yes, Uncle, it was.
Uncle Bill's had about 18 kids in between that time. There's one of them.
Yeah. Fox, like, I've seriously got the door shut, and he pushed the door open and came in here, like, laid down beside him.
Yeah. He was like, hey! You can't escape.
I can't escape.
So, yeah, and you actually have a couple of your kids. We can talk about this, too, because they actually do a really good job. They're already reviewing movies on Facebook.
Yeah, it's like, and this was not something that I, you know, kind of brought up or anything like that. It was something that Piper just one day decided, like, after I'd been recording a couple of these things, that she would start doing. And so she made like a studio. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah.
But like she got a bunch of what basically amounts to couch cushions and put them around in like a fort and then decorated it and started doing movie reviews.
Yeah. So, and they actually, well, she kind of, I don't know if she's doing them on a regular basis, but I've seen like, you know, it's a good time waster at work. That's for sure. Watching that stuff.
Well, but yeah, I think she has maybe like. Hold on.
Well, he's really wanting you for some reason.
Yeah, he does. Maybe like 6 or 7 people get on there at a time, and it's mostly her family because we don't let her keep anybody else on like Facebook or YouTube or anything. So, like family and friends and things like that.
Yeah. But,
like she really enjoys doing that kind of stuff, which is bizarre. Her and Tiny, like, who, you know, kind of is dragged into that.
Right. Well, they start talking about the movie for a little bit there. And then they're like, oh, somebody left. Why did you leave?
And then that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh, somebody come on here. Who are you? Identify yourself. You know, it's funny.
Yeah, if there's like 7 people in there and they lose one, they fucking freak out and stop.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Like, who left? Anyway. But
I guess it's just one of those things, though, where they, like, whatever they see me do, they kind of just want to emulate it. So that's where they're at right now.
Yeah, buddy. So you need to get off the crack cocaine.
Yeah, they... definitely got a bad crack cocaine problem here.
So, yeah, I mean, it's 15 years later, we're doing another one of these year in review shows. And this one is vastly different than any one that we had ever done, just because there wasn't anything that really came out. I mean, I guess you could talk about, I think Invisible Man came out before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen that one, but evidently everybody likes that one. So...
I actually did see that one. I won't go really far into it because I don't know if a lot of people would watch that movie or not, but it's not really what I would consider to be a horror film. It's like more of a, and I hate to use this word, but like a psychological thriller, because in, you know, in the original Invisible Man, like he turns invisible, does pranks and shit on people, and then murders a couple people in between that. In this one, it's about a woman who's, I don't know if it's her husband or boyfriend or whatever, but she breaks up with him, gets a divorce, whatever, and he figures out a way to turn invisible and then basically starts gaslighting her to convince her and everybody else that she's crazy. that's the, he was like abusive in real life. So that's the plot of the movie, really.
I've heard only really good things from that. I actually, that was one of them that I got for Christmas that I'll eventually watch at some point in time. But I think Darren, who was the one that directed that? Was it Darren Lynn Bousman that did that? Or it's one of those guys like that.
I think so. Yeah, it was one of those guys.
Yeah.
He won eight buggers.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, there's only like a small handful, and the theaters still are closed pretty much. I mean, I know the whole, we haven't really talked about the whole thing with HBO Max and Warner Brothers, which to me, that kind of guarantees the death of most cinemas, if you ask me. I mean, that's because Warner Brothers is probably the largest, you know, movie company right now, and all their stuff's going to be basically for free on HBO Max.
Yeah, well, it's the same kind of deal with Disney shit now, too. Like that movie, the new Disney Pixar movie, Soul, just came out and it's already on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically, it's weird, but every studio is taking the route of WWE. They put everything on a network now for free.
Yeah. So, you know, I know that the theater that we used to go to, the one in Pikeville that's, the Riverfield that we did all those on the road videos for, they have never actually reopened. And it's sad because that's the only theater within a 20-mile, you know, radius of here. Really within probably 100 miles almost, right? What's the next one? It'd probably be Paintsville. Williamson. The Paintsville is closed.
Is it closed too then? Fuck, yeah. It would be, yeah, it would be like Williamson would be the closest one, or Ashland.
Yeah, I mean, the one in Pikeville hasn't officially like closed for good, but the one in Paintsville did. I mean, they made the announcement that they're done and that building's for rent and everything, so.
Well, they were never, to be honest, that place was never doing a lot of business anyway before all this shit, so I can only imagine.
Like, which one? The one in Paintsville?
Yeah. Yeah.
To be honest with you, man, like, I don't think the one in Pikeville was doing that good either. Maybe on the weekends or something, but
yeah, it's certainly a nicer theater, though. I'll give them that. Like, I don't know if it ever did really well either.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, the theaters like that, I'm sure theaters in big cities will continue to, you know, at some point they'll return, the ones that haven't already, but. I mean, the whole thing that Warner Brothers is doing for the entire year this year, it kind of sucks. I mean, to me, for these theaters, because seriously, who in the right mind, if you want to see a movie, would not at least just get HBO Max for that month to watch the movie? You know, because it's going to save you, you know,
yeah, like
30 or 40 bucks to do that. So, but yeah, I mean, there's so many different things to talk about in this year, not necessarily just horror movie related, but that revolves around things that we used to love to do. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to get through. First off, though, what have you been watching lately, Uncle Bill? Anything in particular you want to mention on here that we could talk about, or and then
yeah, we'll, I mean. Oddly enough, I've watched quite a few things the last couple of days, and most of them have been TV movies from the 90s and early 2000s. So, like, I'm not sure if we've ever talked about this movie other than me maybe talking about it one time when all this started. I don't know, but I rewatched The Stand, the friggin', you know, the miniseries from the early 90s.
Right.
And this was a Stephen King adaptation. I don't think I'd ever seen it. I watched it in March when all this started, just because, like, it's fucking eerily similar to everything that's going on. I mean, almost everything about it except for the end is completely exactly what's going on. But it's got Rob Lowe is probably was the biggest star at the time that was in it. Molly Ringwald, Gary Sinise, Rig. There's like 100 people in it from the 90s that you would remember.
Mick Garris was the, yeah.
Yeah, Mick Garris.
That's the only time I can think of that we may have mentioned the movies when we interviewed Mick Garris.
Yeah, I mean, and the weird thing about it is it's a really, really good TV movie, except for the special effects, but fuck, it was like 1990. So, I mean, they're not going to be the greatest in a TV movie, but the movie itself is really, really good. Basically centers around a government agency out in the middle of, I believe it's Texas, releases a virus that they were working on that spreads like the flu and has a mortality rate of like 99% or something like that. And so, of course, like it gets out, gets all across the world, and there's only a group of survivors that it doesn't affect for some reason, and nobody can figure out why until you get to the end, and then you figure out exactly what's going on. But I mean, I don't remember watching it, man, when it came out. Like, because I was really into Stephen King movies, like miniseries on TV. That's when It came out, and another one I want to talk about.
Like, yeah, there was a lot of them that came out in the early to mid-90s. Like, it seems like almost every 6 months they had a different one out. There's probably a lot of them that aren't the best, you know, like the Tommyknockers and there was some more of them. Storm of the Century, I think, was one that I couldn't make it through.
Yeah, so. I think there was a bunch that people barely remember that I'm pretty sure were on TV, like the Golden Years.
Right.
Like, there's, yeah, like, that, I think that kind of came from it being as huge as it was, and so they just started, like, doing that, you know, over and over again, that formula.
Yeah, so.
But if you've never seen it, then, like, I highly recommend, even though I think it's, like, 5 hours long, I still recommend it.
Yeah, I've seen it, but it, like I said, it's probably been so long. I can't even remember it. I think I've got it on DVD, and I've watched it that way, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, I mean, there's some clearly, like, bad acting in it, and there's some clearly horrible special effects. But overall, in terms of a movie, like, where the acting is really kind of believable, and the I was really surprised because, I mean, I don't mean to shit on Mick Garris, but let's be honest, like, his track record of making Stephen King stuff has not been good.
Yeah, that kind of became his calling card there for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, he actually, I'm pretty sure, directed Sleepwalkers, if that tells you anything.
Yeah. Well, that one's got a special edition out from Screen Factory, so at least he's still making money on it.
That's true.
He's good. Yeah. So, I've actually been watching quite a bit lately, too. One that I wanted to mention on here that I'll go back and look. We may have reviewed this on the show, but when I was watching, I was like, I don't think I've ever seen this before. But, you know, I'm getting old, so my memory could be going. It's the 1982 Bill Lustig movie Vigilante, and this was the movie that was in between Maniac and Maniac Cop. And yeah, it's not the most original movie ever. Like, it's kind of like a gang in the city attacks and brutalizes this man, his wife and kid, and it's kind of like a revenge movie after that. But honestly, though, man, like, the music and stuff in that movie, and I swear to God, like, I may be crazy, but I think this may be Bill Lustig's best movie.
No, I mean, I remember watching it, and I remember getting it, like, when we got it in and everything, like, when we used to get shit from them.
Yeah.
But I could not tell you one single thing of the movie that I remember, though. But I remember liking it. I know that.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I remember liking Tenement too, which is I don't know if that's Blue Underground or not, but it's a very similar style of movie, like the grindhouse exploitation kind of style.
Right. Yeah, I mean this one definitely was too, and the Blue Underground recently did a 4K remaster of this, and it looks really good, but it's not really one of those movies where you would watch it and say, oh, okay, this is going to be killer in 4K. You know what I'm saying? But,
yeah.
I mean, I was really impressed with the movie overall. I mean, just the way it was made, the music in it was awesome. Robert Forster does a great job in that movie. So, yeah, I mean, we may have reviewed it back in the day. Like I said, we had, hell, when it comes to Blue Underground stuff, I think they sent us like everything that they did back in the day. So we may have done the DVD of that, or maybe even the Blu-ray. But I was really impressed with that. I've actually watched a lot of Christmas movies and stuff too. Unfortunately, it's a lot of those Hallmark movies and shit. And another one that it's the first time I'd watched it in forever was the Jim Carrey Grinch That Stole Christmas adaptation.
Oh yeah,
Got that on 4K, and it actually, honestly, to be honest with you, it looked like a regular Blu-ray to me. Like sometimes those 4K releases, you gotta look at the reviews on those damn things.
Well, here's what I was wondering though, and I don't know how many of the Blue Underground 4Ks you have. But I have no fucking idea why this is, but I think that is the best looking, whatever you want to call that, renderings of 4K I've seen. Is their shit.
Yeah. I mean, as far as just being clean, and yeah. I was kind of wondering about that too, because I've only got a couple of them, and you said the zombie one is like unreal. It's like one of the best 4Ks that you've ever seen.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're using Bill Lustig is, I mean, he's the one in charge of that still, from what I understand. So, and they don't really do any new acquisitions. Like we talked about that as well. So I don't know, but yeah, I mean, both like the Vigilante has no business even really looking that great, but it was clear. I mean, it didn't even look like, you know, it's almost a 40-year-old movie. So, but yeah, what I would really wish that they would do, and they didn't do it with this one, but sometimes they do the three discs with the soundtrack. I wish they would have included the soundtrack on that one, because I didn't really even remember the music in that movie that much until I watched it again. And I mean, if we did review it before, who fucking knows? I don't know. But the music in it is really, really, really good.
I would say I just don't remember anything about it, but it's been probably what, freaking 12 years or something, probably, since we watched that.
Probably. Yeah.
But I would say though, if anybody is interested, like, go out and just buy any one of the Blue Underground 4Ks. Like, I think they've got House by the Cemetery, Zombie, New York Ripper. What's the other one? There's got to be at least one.
They've got Daughters of Darkness, which is that transfer on that's freaking. I don't know how they did it. I think that's the oldest one that they've got. That thing looked freaking killer. And then Vigilante, I think those are all the 4Ks right now. And a lot of people are thinking that the Stendhal Syndrome, the Dario Argento movie, may be one of the next ones that they do. But they haven't really made any announcements or anything on that. I would love to see Blue Underground do, you know, some new releases as far as just new movies. But who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened with all that. Well, maybe one day we'll find out.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess the other one that I just watched these the other night, too. It's been a couple nights ago. And I don't know what the hell made me want to watch this, but it was just one of those movies where I remembered it being good. I'm not positive we ever reviewed these movies, any of them, on the show either, but it's another Stephen King TV movie. which was called Sometimes They Come Back. Which
we did review that, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure we reviewed at least the first one.
Okay. And then I went back to back and we watched Sometimes They Come Back Again. I don't think
Sometimes They Come All Over Your Face. Thank God. Yeah, they did like
on your belly.
They did like it was three of those movies, right? Sometimes They Come Back, Sometimes They Come Back Again, and Sometimes They Come Back for More.
So, little known fact, I didn't even remember this until I watched it, but Tom McLaughlin is the guy that directed the first one. The guy that directed Friday the 13th Part 6. And It's actually a competent movie, I guess because he was like the guy that directed it. And it's got Tim Matheson in it, who I did not... I got him mixed up with the dude that was in The Dark Half. I can't remember what his name is, but he was another.
Oh yeah. Oh God, what was that guy's name?
They basically look exactly the same, and they all were in the '90s movies, like into like late '80s, early '90s movies.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
I can't think of his name.
Dark Half sucks.
Listen, it's all right, but that's not the point.
Well, it's probably all right by today's standards. I'll give it that.
Something about this movie, though, is still, it's still, I think, a good movie. And I think it's got a lot to do with the premise of it that you don't ever really see, which is, okay, he's grown up now, but when he was a kid, him and his brother were kind of attacked by this group of like 50s thugs or punks or whatever they were called. And his brother was killed because he couldn't get out of this train tunnel when this train was coming. And then all of them were killed too. All the punks were killed. He was the only one that gets out. So fast forward, I think it's like 25 years, something like that. And he's a teacher at this school. And they come back. And really, like, I don't know what the fucking reason was in the book. But in the TV movie, there's no reason. Like, and I was waiting to see, like, okay, like, why do they start coming back? And it just, like, they show up in this one scene, and what happens is they start killing off students in his class, and for every student that they kill off, like, another one of them can come back. So there was three of them, and like, they start, he's a teacher in it, and they start coming back into his class, and like, they say they transfer from another school, and like, they start showing up in his class, giving him a hard time. And he's got to figure out how to get him to go back to hell. That's the basic movie.
To fucking hell. Yeah.
I was hoping that's you'd do it.
That movie is... I always really liked that movie. And I think somebody brought it out on Blu-ray not too long ago. But I don't actually... I don't think I have that on anything. But that I do remember liking that movie quite a bit.
Yeah, the weird thing is, and I think another reason why I like it so much is that it doesn't play like a TV movie. And I guess it didn't either, but it's a genuinely creepy fucking movie where they like, there's a kid death in the first 10 minutes, and then, you know, they're like terrorizing his kid, and it just doesn't seem like something that would ever be on TV. And also really well acted. Robert Russler's in it. The dude from Nightmare on Elm Street 2. And there's a couple other people in it that other people would recognize. The kid from... God damn. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. The little brother is like the kid. Anyway, it's really well done.
Yeah, so... Jesus Christ, for some reason my phone keeps going off. I got a new phone.
Oh, what'd you get?
Well, it's not it's new for me. It's a 10R.
Yeah.
No, wait. I already had the 10R. This is the 10S Max. So I just got it because it was on clearance, and it's got the 512 gigabyte hard drive on it.
Deal.
Yeah, so I'm gonna turn this fucker off though. But yeah, I mean, I've Did you ever watch Dog Code Santa Claus, the Vinegar Syndrome movie?
No, I haven't. I don't know why I didn't either. It would have been the perfect time.
Yeah, I watched it on Christmas Day, oddly enough. And that movie, like, I really, really like that movie quite a bit. Like, it is, you do have to read it. It's in subtitles and everything. But as far as, like, that's almost like a big budget movie or something like that, I guess, in France. Which, I mean, this kid, like, he's a rich kid, lives in this mansion, and he's, like, in, I guess, infatuated with action movies. Like, pretty much, it's like Rambo or something, I guess, is the one that they're trying to kind of, like, wink at you with, and he's a big fan of Rambo or whatever. So, this guy is, like, almost like a pedophile that really loves the company of kids. Like, they didn't really ever, you know, say exactly what it was, like if he was raping the kids or what, but he's like the guy that plays him is a really, really creepy fucking guy. So somehow he gets his kid's address, and it's pretty much just like a home invasion movie. You know, he dresses up as Santa Claus and kind of just goes from there.
I've got to watch this movie, man.
Yeah, it's really good. So
that's another movie though that only Vince probably put out.
Well, I think it had been out in other countries, but this is the first time that it was out here in the U.S. in anything. I don't think it was even on DVD. So
yeah.
But yeah, that is some of the stuff that we've been watching. I guess we'll take a quick break. And then we will get back with 2020. I guess we'll just go chronologically through the shit year that was 2020.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. Here on Dead Pit.
You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No, I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of them, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opposite, he's busy cranking out some of the most high quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check him out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
Hello, this is Sonny Landry.
And I'm Ed Ramsey.
Telling you to check out DeadPit.com Saturday Nightmares.
You know, a lot of people recognize me from Deadly Friend. But you're going to recognize CK and Uncle Bear from DeadPit.com.
Every week, talk to the Uncle Bill and the Creepy Kentuckian live over at Blog TV.
You said go check it out now!
DeadPit.com Saturday Night Mass. It'll make you want to chew on my dick.
Hell yeah!
Howdy, folks, and welcome back.
Huh?
DeadPit.com.
So, we're going to do 2020. Oddly enough, and a lot of people like have asked this, if it weren't for the COVID virus, would Dead Pit have come back? So since it is like a 15-year anniversary show, that would be a good thing to talk about for the first, you know, I guess, subject of the 2020 year in review. So I'm saying that it would have come back. I don't know if it would have come back this year, but I know for me, I had a whole lot of shit to deal with in 2019. So I think that the Dead Pit thing, I needed something creative thing to do to help me a little bit through that. Mm-hmm. So I think that Dead Pit kind of did that. It kept my mind on other things. And I think, honestly, I think it would have come back regardless. I don't know if it would have come back as early as it did. Of course, it was March of last year. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, I just needed something to do, some sort of time filler. So, but what do you think about that?
I gotta say that it probably definitely helped to some degree or another, because number one, the original fucking Start of Dead Pit was based around boredom, really. Mm-hmm. Like, not having anything to do and like trying to figure out ways to do shit on your own. But like this, like, hyper accelerated that with the whole COVID thing, because now you're stuck at home all the time and, you know, everybody's anxious and you don't have any outlets to do anything. And I mean, I probably enjoy doing the show more now than I did back then, just for the reason of like, it does break up the monotony of shit, you know? Now, well, I do think that it would have come back, but I think, I'm not sure like how fucking dedicated or how, you know, how long it would have gone if it hadn't been for this either.
Right. And the thing is too, is like, just the ease of getting your stuff out there now makes it a lot more fun. The big thing that I hated doing back in the day was editing the show, and how, you know, difficult it was to get the show and the summary and all that stuff up by a certain time. And it's just like really simple now. Like, I can do all this stuff from work. That's what I was telling you the other night. I mean, it's just like, even if we're doing live streams or something like that, we can just put it out there and it's there. It archives itself. It's good. You know, you can just do the aspects of the show that you enjoy to do and not worry about the other shit, which is good. But yeah. I do enjoy doing the podcast as well, just because I think that there's a lot of information that we may not get the chance to go over on like a live show. But I mean, I like doing both of them, really. I would love to get to the point. Oh, I was going to tell you about this too, by the way. Intermountain Cable Internet is coming to Prestonsburg. Did you hear about that?
No, huh?
Yeah. Evidently, they just, I think it was like last week they'd had a meeting on it or something like that. So I think sometime this year they're going to be, so I don't know if that, you know, I don't know if Martin's going to be included on that, but Prestonsburg is, so.
Well, that's the thing, though. I've already got Intermountain Cable. That's what I've got up here.
Oh, I thought you had Suddenlink.
No, dude, I've never had Suddenlink. But from what I can gather, like, people are having or have always had tons of issues and shit with Suddenlink. So
yeah, I thought that's what you said you had. I don't know, but what I think would be cool too, just because it's so easy, is to maybe with the technology the way it is, and I'm trying to get the audio to match, like on the live streams, to match the audio on the podcast. So if we can get that done, we could record the way that we record video and just upload the audio from the video. So, I mean, the technology is just so much different than what it was back then. So,
and that's the thing, like, it's gone leaps and bounds ahead now as to where we were at when we first started. And like, you were doing all that shit on all those different programs and stuff.
Oh yeah. I mean, the Skype program itself records for you. That's what we're recording on tonight. So
yeah.
But, getting back to the 2020, I think Dead Pit, I was wanting to do something with Dead Pit even before the COVID thing started. And at that point in time, I don't know what it was, but I just didn't, I didn't think that you wanted to do anything, but I think that the COVID definitely helped you move along a little bit. Does that sound? Yeah.
And I think that had a lot to do too with the fact of pre-COVID, like we would always be going out and like having to take the kids to things. Like Tiny was in dance and Piper was in the academic team, and we would be going, you know, back and forth to all these different places. And then when COVID hit, it just killed all that. So like I had a ton more free time to do different things, you know.
For sure. So with the COVID that started, I mean, I guess that was in March, really. And that was right around the same time we first started doing the, you know, getting back into things and posting stuff on the YouTube thing was wild. But like I really started watching a lot more stuff around this time period too. Cause like you said, we were from March to the beginning of August, I was still working from home at that point in time. So
yeah,
I could stay up until 1-2 o'clock in the morning and still be fine to get up and start working at 9 o'clock. So I think in that aspect, like I really got to watch a lot more movies than I would have normally. So that definitely helped it quite a bit as well. So
yeah, it was just kind of the perfect storm, like working from home and, you know, not having any kind of responsibilities anymore because everybody's at the house all the time, not having to worry about running around doing shit. Like it just made it perfect to do something like this again.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I don't know if you feel the same way, but for me, I think we took enough time off to where I kind of feel like a fan again, in a way. Like, where it's like, I'm kind of looking forward to doing these shows and talking about them and stuff. And for a long time there, it really wasn't that way, you know?
Yeah, we just burnt the fuck out is what happened. I mean, we just were going to every convention. Like probably every 2 months there was a convention, and then like watching 50 movies a week. It's just for years doing that was just, you just don't give a shit after a period. But you're right though.
Yeah.
Like I noticed the one thing I noticed where I thought, all right, like something is different, is I actually started buying like wrestling figures, fucking horse figures.
That'd be really.
Yeah. When I started,
you'd be really bored then.
I was like, okay, I'm starting to get back into the genre itself. But yeah, I never bought wrestling figures again. I never will either.
Yeah, that's just a very lucrative market now, wrestling figures is. So, but yeah, I mean, I watched a lot of new movies this year, and I watched a lot of stuff that I was catching back up on that I hadn't seen because, to be honest with you, like during that time frame of what was it, 2017 through the beginning of 2020, I probably only watched a handful of horror movies in that time period. Like, I don't know about you, but I mean, it was probably, I would say 10 or less in that 2.5 years, like as far as new movies go, new horror movies.
No, I would definitely agree. And like, I did. Nowadays, though, like, I pray for anything to come out. Like anything new to come out, like I would watch anything that came out right now.
Yeah.
I mean, any kind of horror related film for sure.
Yeah. And the thing is too, is like a lot of these newer movies are kind of debuting streaming now too. So a lot of them are debuting on Shudder or Amazon. You know, they just license them to one of those services or whatever. So one that really popped into my head, and I think this one did come out in 2020, and I did a review on this as well, of an independent movie called The Lodge. Did you watch that one?
Yeah, I watched that. Me and Savannah watched that one, actually.
Yeah, that one's a really good, if you're, you know, snowed in or whatever right now, listen to this. That's a really, really good movie, you know, atmospheric type movie to watch. That one came out this year. Now, that was one that I was really, really impressed with.
I think, did we talk about that one any? I think you talked a little bit about it, didn't you? Before?
I think that we've mentioned it briefly before. I mean, basically, it's this woman who is played by, she's played by Elvis's granddaughter, right? She's just kind of a newer actress. I don't have information. I think so, yeah. But anyway, like, she's looking after her fiancé's kids at this lodge in the wintertime, and, you know, it's one of those movies where you think one thing is going on, but it's really something else. I don't want to give a whole lot of it away, but, I mean, it's very atmospheric. There is some creepy stuff that goes on throughout the movie. You get to see Alicia Silverstone blow her brains out in the very beginning of it. If you want to see that.
It reminded me a lot of, Jesus Christ, dude. What was that guy's name that did House of the Devil?
Oh, yeah, Ty West.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of, like, that kind of movie where it's like there's a really, really kind of atmosphere to it, and it's kind of more drawn out than other horror movies, and not a whole lot happens, but it's just building towards something that you know is going to be awful.
Yeah. So that one was a really good one. I think that was one of the first ones from 2020 that I'd watched this year. Because it's kind of hard to pinpoint the ones that were out in 2020, because most of those I think would be, you know, direct to DVD or digital or whatever, because you only had like 2.5-3 months to get anything out. I think, unfortunately for Brahms, The Boy 2, that one did come out in theaters, but, you know, it didn't make the money that it would have, because it, you know, the COVID came out right before COVID.
Yeah, is that the reason?
That is the reason, because, you know, it did have Katie Holmes in it. Anything that she's in usually makes quite a bit of money.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
But, yeah, technically that would be another one that I watched this year, too. So.
I was wondering, did the Child's Play remake come out in 2020? Because I watched that one.
I think that one may have been 2019, but I'm not 100% on it.
That's another one, though, dude, where I was just kind of like, I still don't know what to make out of that movie. Like, it is such a fucking departure from anything like that they've ever done with Child's Play that I'm not sure if I liked it or hated it, really.
I hated it. Yeah, I mean, it's just,
I could see that, really.
I didn't enjoy it at all. Like, I just thought it was stupid. It had too much comedy in it. The only thing that I liked in it was the song that Chucky sang, which I kind of just thought that I liked that because it was so stupid, I guess.
You mean Buddy?
Yeah. Well, it's a Buddy doll named Chucky, though.
Yeah, that's true. Buddy doll.
So that's, and what's funny is the Chucky doll was designed, I mean, it was originally, the concept was a My Buddy doll.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting, really, if you look back at it. Some other ones that I'd watched this year that teetered on 2020, but I don't think it was the Jordan Peele movie Us. Have you seen that one?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like the concept of that one. I just thought that it was kind of boring after about 45 minutes in. I was kind of just waiting for it to go off.
Those are the type of movies, too, that people absolutely love to, like, jerk themselves off to, trying to find the subtext and everything in them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily the type of movie that I enjoy unless it's done really, really well. I actually like Get Out better than I did Us. So, I don't know. Take that for whatever it's worth. But I did see that one, and I wasn't overly, like, thrilled with it. I'll say that.
Yeah, I'm thinking that one was 2019 as well, but we haven't talked about any of this shit, I don't think. Anything else you can think of 2020 that you actually watched?
Now, if you're talking about like in 2020, that came out in 2020, dude, that's fucking tough.
Yeah, it's not a lot. I know that Shudder had the, and Metal Man was the one that requested me to take a look at this one. I think it came out in 2020 because it was a Shudder original. It's called Host. Did you watch that one?
I did not watch that one. I don't know why.
Okay. Not very good. I mean, a lot of people really love that, but I didn't. It was only, for one thing, it was like less than an hour long. Right? But that was kind of a good thing if you watched the hour of it. It was all, the entire movie was a Zoom call. Okay? It was like, it started with the screenshot of the Zoom meeting or whatever. So, and it kind of like is a possession movie or whatever. So,
I mean, now that I think about it, though, they've released a lot of their own content here lately, like original. I don't know if they just, if they, I don't think they necessarily are a studio, if they just fund a lot of this stuff. I'm not sure.
I don't know either. But it's weird because there was another movie that I had actually been, I think Dark Sky Films, which they're still around, oddly enough. They sent a DVD of, it's a British horror movie called Hosts with S, right? Horrible yeah. name. Horrible fucking name. Especially since that movie, the Shudder movie came out too, right? It's just too close.
Yeah, exactly.
But that movie is fucking 10 times better than the Shudder movie. So if anybody wants to see that, I mean, basically the story of that one's a good one to watch around Christmas time. So.
Oh shit, dude. I forgot about this one, but like speaking of Shudder, and I hope to God you haven't seen this, cause this would be a perfect one for you to watch. Me and the kids watched it one night. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how you look at me as a parent, but it's called The Mortuary Collection, which is like a, anthology, and it takes place in a morgue where this woman comes in and she's like acting like she wants to be an apprentice to the mortician, and the mortician is played by that guy that was in I can't think of his name, but he was in Pet Sematary 2 as the dad, and in Highlander.
Oh yeah, Anthony Edwards.
No, not the dad, the stepdad.
Clancy Brown.
Yes, Clancy Brown. And he's fucking amazing in it, too. Like, he is the perfect, and they got him in full makeup and all that, but it's the perfect kind of, like, presenter for the tales.
Uh-huh.
Oh, how John Carpenter was the one, and, you know.
That does sound pretty cool. And
you got to watch it, though. It's actually really, really good. It's called The Mortuary Collection, which was one that did come out in 2020 that was on Shudder.
Yeah, I will definitely. I actually do have Shudder access again, thanks to my buddy Jonathan hooked me up.
Well, there you go.
So, I'll have to check that out. Shudder does have some pretty shit movies on there, though. We're trying to watch. Did you ever watch Scare Package that's on Shudder?
No, I saw it on there, but never watched it.
Oh, God. You might actually like it, though, because, well, I don't know. It's not like a classic trauma movie, but it's like a trauma movie that came out in like 2010 or something like that. That's what it looks like.
And that's the thing. I would say out of the stuff they released, 9 out of 10 of those movies are garbage. But then, like, there's one that'll be actually pretty good. So.
Yeah. Most of the ones that I saw, people really don't know. Like, they've never really heard of or anything. There's another one I'm looking at that I've reviewed on here called Death of Me, which was really, really good. And I think it's out at Walmart. You can kind of get it. It's one of those RJL Entertainment releases or something.
Yeah.
Which they just sent me the link. And that's kind of what a lot of these companies do. They send the links now to review some of these movies. But this one was one that Darren Lynn Bousman did as well. And it's almost like, it's very much like Serpent in the Rainbow. It's got like, you know, some black magic aspects to it as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's really, really good. I did review that one if anybody wants to check it out. But I think that one's kind of underrated. It's got the lost Hemsworth brother in it. There's like three of them fucking Hemsworth. They're worse than the bald ones.
You mean there's another one?
Yeah. He's like the one that doesn't really do a lot of mainstream shit because, you know, he's like the Big Lots Hemsworth.
Son of a bitch, the Dollar Tree Hemsworth.
Yeah. Yeah. Luke Hemsworth, I think was his name.
I can't believe there's another one of them guys.
I don't know. Yeah. But anybody that wants to, I would highly recommend that one. Like, that's a really, I mean, it's just something different. And I think it was shot like in the Philippines or some island or something somewhere. And it looks really good too. So, but I'm just trying to think of some more newer movies. The one good thing that also came out, a lot of stuff came out in 2020, would be the Blu-ray releases. There were a lot of really good Blu-ray releases this year.
God damn, that's true. Like, I
and 4K.
I don't think I've ever seen a year where there's that many, like, really good Blu-ray special editions that came out as the last year. And I'd say there'll be a ton more, too.
What would you say is your favorite release of the year?
Are you talking about, like, the one that I enjoyed the most, or are you talking about the one that I think looks the best?
Just whatever you think the best overall one is.
Oh, freaking duck, man.
I'm putting you on the spot.
I mean, I can tell you right now, the one I thought looked the best was Zombie, probably followed by Jaws in 4K. I would say that the one, like, that I probably enjoyed the most or thought was the coolest was the Dawn of the Dead big box set release that came out.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to beat that Dawn of the Dead set. With just the presentation of it, it was basically an updated version of that classic Anchor Bay set. It's got all the different cuts of the movie on it in 4K. Yeah. Got a big, you know, hardbound book inside of it. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to beat that one. If I was to put a studio on there, though, it would probably have to be Vinegar Syndrome, though, for just the amount of releases that everybody is just going crazy about. You know, their Beastmaster release, a lot of people are really putting that over. I haven't watched it yet. But, I mean, I can just tell by the packaging on that and the presentation of it. They're the closest thing, I think, to Anchor Bay when Anchor Bay was first getting their, you know, their stride on, like, the late 90s, early 2000s right now, because just the limited edition stuff that they're doing, and they're just really hitting it out of the park almost every month. There's some shit that everybody wants to get, so.
Well, you know how I feel about them. Like, I've got a huge hard-on for Vinegar Syndrome.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know even know how I stumbled across that company now, but like once you get in, you're kind of hooked. They just have a way with the way that they package and market. And
well, they do find some shit that, I mean, as hardcore as we are, that we've never heard of, like some of these slasher movies, and there's some action movies that they're doing, like I guess the VSAs for or whatever. That shit just looks like something that I'd watch back in the day on Cinemax or whatever. So, I mean, they're finding all this stuff that had never really been, if it had been out before, it had been a really shitty release or whatever. So they're really, like, a lot of these movies are trauma movies that had been out, you know, that trauma kind of just threw out there.
Which means they had a really shitty release, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've done good.
I'll also say that, like, all trauma movies have horrible fucking either DVD or Blu-ray releases.
Yeah. So, Arrow Videos also had a pretty big year this year. So, I mean, there's a lot of great releases. Second Sight Films is the ones that did The Dawn of the Dead. And I think the next one that they're doing is going to be a 4K of Martin. The George Romero movie.
Yeah, so I've got that too.
They've been working on that for a while. I guess they found it was supposed to come out maybe sometime in early 2021, but I think that they found some updated film elements that they're going to, who knows what the hell they do. I don't know. But that's going to be a killer release as well whenever they get that one going.
That's a movie that I think we were talking about this before, that is severely kind of underrated.
It is. And we are going to do a show on underrated horror movies at some point as well. I think that'd be a good, because I've tried to come up with some names. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something that's really challenging to do, and I try to do this. You know, when we were doing the shows in like 2007 through like 2009, 2010, there were so many of those smaller DVD, studios. Heretic Films was one of them. Subversive.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
There's tons of them, I mean. And a lot of those companies, and I've been trying to go through them, there's probably some classic movies that we really enjoyed. And there's a couple that I've thought of. But to me, those would be ones to read, because the odds of anybody picking those movies up again are very, very slim, especially the ones that were just, you know, newer independent movies that was released on there. So I think that'd be a cool show just to do. We could do underrated horror movies, but look at that era as well, because there's a lot of stuff that was thrown out there that's probably never, ever going to come back out.
That's so true. And the oddest part to me about that whole thing with that era of us watching all that is, I would say, honest to God, that 90% of that shit was just horrible.
Yeah.
Maybe more, honestly. Like, if you think about how many movies we watched and then how many of those you could actually remember now, like...
That's true.
It's got to be...
Well, you can't even remember. There's so many of them, you can't even remember the name of the damn company that was releasing them.
No.
Like, there was one that I got out here. Illumination Filmworks. When's the last time you heard those words?
I don't remember the last time I've heard those words.
So. But yeah, I mean, that's just another idea for a show eventually that we're going to do, is the underrated horrors. But yeah, Martin is definitely one of them.
Yeah, going back to what you were talking about, though, with the studios and stuff, or not studios, but I guess they're distribution companies. I would say that right now, I mean, Arrow always does good stuff, but Arrow is kind of like, I don't know, like same to me in the same ways like Shout Factory in a lot of ways. But it's got to be Vinegar Syndrome, and to a much lesser degree, Scorpion Releasing, that puts out like killer movies you've never heard of, and kind of like goes all out with the packaging and the restorations and everything.
Right. Yeah. No doubt. So yeah, I mean, 2020, as far as that goes, there's a lot of good stuff coming out. I think Arrow's got a pretty stacked lineup for 2021. Vinegar Syndrome hasn't really said a whole lot. I think they have their 2021 January titles up there. I don't know. I mean, that doesn't really say anything, but I don't know any of the ones that they've got up there right now. If you look, like Satan's Blood is one, and they've got...
No, I haven't looked it.
Yeah, they've got like four titles or something, but they don't really... I don't think they really announce stuff before it goes on pre-sale or something, right?
No.
So,
I think they probably blew their load with all that shit at the end of the year. Jesus.
Yeah. Something else we need to really mention on here, too, since this just kind of came out not too long ago, I think it passed away on New Year's Eve, would be the passing of Gary Clark, who played Steel in the George Romero Day of the Dead movie, which is one of my favorite characters in the whole movie. And, we had actually interviewed him, and we were just talking about this not too long ago. Easily the longest interview that we've ever done, but and we joke about it a lot and everything. But man, he was a nice guy. we made him at least once, I'm sure. But he was a really, really down to earth, fun guy to be around and stuff like that. And I hate to hear that. I think he'd been in poor health for quite a while from what I'd heard.
Yeah, I mean, he was super nice. And what he did with that interview, too, I think he was really trying to be nice and accommodating to us, was that I can remember at one point him saying something like, I'm just going to, like, talk, and then you can pick whatever shit that you want to keep in. And then he talked for, what, 4 hours?
It was legit. I went back and I found the and I may put it up on the Patreon side. I found the uncut interview. It's like 3 hours and 15 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
So
couldn't have been a nicer guy, and probably one of the most memorable, you know, roles in a modern horror film too.
But yeah, go ahead.
The only thing I can ever think about when I think about that interview is you sitting over there eating fucking pancakes.
Well, yeah, they got me some pancakes, man. Pancakes ain't no good when they're cold.
Yeah. And just like, you're just eating pancakes and being like,
Well, that's the thing. Like,
anything.
No, he just kept talking. We didn't really ask questions for 20, 30 minutes at a time, it seems like. No. We try to bring up Day of the Dead or whatever, and he was like, guys, I'm going to get to that. I promise.
Yeah.
Hang on just a second. I'm gonna...
Oh, God.
So, but yeah, I mean, he's a real good guy. There's a lot of like just really sad deaths and stuff like that in 2020 as well. Wrestling wise, the John Huber is the guy that played Luke Harper and Brody Lee in AEW. And his death came kind of out of nowhere. Like, I don't think anybody really knew what was going on there. And there's not been a whole lot that's come out about that either. So
now
he's only 41 years old.
The article about that and everything.
Was there something new on there? I don't know.
Well, basically, like after that happened, there's an article by like one of those guys from Wrestling Insider or Torch or one of them fucking publications where they're kind of speculating that he did die of COVID, but she just covered it up, like his wife or whatever. Which I don't know if there's any validity to that, but
I don't think so. Like from what I've heard, and I don't think COVID would cause this. Maybe it did. He had entered the hospital in the end of October and almost was in immediate coma.
Jeez.
So he was unresponsive for almost 2 months. So I don't think COVID would do that unless it was some sort of something else that caused it. And he also had COVID. I'm not really sure. I want to be honest with you here, what I think it was. And because it sounds exactly like what happened with my mom. And I've talked about it before with Sarah and stuff, because she was in a coma as well. She had like a bilateral lung blood clot in her lung. So it may have not been exactly that. But I'm almost positive. I'm thinking it's something with a blood clot. And because he had that match, and it was like a really, really physical match with Cody Rhodes, was the last match that he had. And there's an interview that he did probably a day or two before he went to the hospital on AEW, one of their podcasts or something like that. Where he actually mentioned that he couldn't finish some sort of elliptical workout that he was doing because of breathing issues. So,
yeah.
And that sort of thing does not, the blood clot in the lung, that doesn't, that's kind of a lingering thing before it goes into full effect, really. So, I mean, I don't know for sure, but to me it sounds more like something like that than it would anything else.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I know there's speculation about it because nobody's really said anything about it, exactly what happened, but that could be for that reason, too, because they know it was associated with one of those matches, and they don't want to say anything if there's, you know, lawsuits or shit coming. Who knows?
Yeah, But I mean, there's so many more deaths and stuff like that throughout the year. I don't even think I can remember all of them.
I think wrestling probably had the most of any kind of, like, you know, if you were to say all the horror people that passed away or all the action stars that passed away, like, wrestling's got to be the number one thing. I've never seen that many people pass away in a year like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty bad. Like, Road Warrior Animal was another one that was kind of out of nowhere when he passed away. But there's, I mean, there's a lot. You can't really. And the whole COVID thing, there's a lot of people that passed away from that in the music world. Charlie Pride passed away. We didn't talk about that either. I saw him on TV. It had to be a couple of weeks before all that. So if I was guessing, he may have caught that while he was, you know, either some sort of award show or something. They were celebrating his career, and he's like 80-some years old. Yeah. The thing about the COVID deal is, and there's a woman that I work with that caught it, right? She never had one symptom. The only reason that she got tested was her daughter had it, and her daughter was symptomatic. So I think the big thing is people have it and don't know it and spread it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So,
especially, though, kids. That's the thing. Like, I've heard all kinds of stories about these kids that'll have it and have no idea. And, like, they'll just be running around going, you know, from place to place. And then other people, that older people, start to get it. And then they are symptomatic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because kids' immune systems are different than adults. So I don't know if they're stronger or what. But kids don't seem to get it that much. So
no, they don't seem to be symptomatic. More so than anybody, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, they may get it, but they're not, they don't have symptoms for it. Maybe their immune system's fighting the symptoms off or whatever. So, but what I've been doing is I've been taking my vitamins, like the Hulkster said, and, you know, saying my prayers. That's all you can do.
That's all you can do, really. But so. I remember Joe Diffie. Didn't he also pass away?
Joe Diffie passed away. John Prine had passed away. There was a lot there that right in a row.
Eddie Van Halen passed away, for that matter.
Eddie Van Halen. He had, didn't he have cancer or something, though?
Yeah, he had, like, throat cancer that went into remission and came back, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So.
I mean, there was a lot of people, if you think about it.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's 2021, I mean, they got the vaccine out and stuff like that. So hopefully, you know, another 5-6 months down the line, they can get more people with that vaccine and it'll help. But who knows? I'm just hoping 2021 is a much better year than 2020.
Yeah, I would hate to think that it would be worse. That would be horrible. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So is there anything else stand out for the year 2020 for you? I know we haven't mentioned, much as far as the movies that came out, but there, honest to God, wasn't a whole lot that theatrically. I mean, you had 2.5-3 months, and then the rest of them were direct to video. So, and when it gets to direct to video, I'm not even sure what year. You know, I can't really pinpoint what year it come out. So,
no, I mean, the main things that stand out to me this year, if you're talking about, like, in the genre, are the Friday the 13th box set and the Dawn of the Dead box set. I mean, in terms of really memorable.
I did get my replacement discs for Friday the 13th, by the way.
You did or you didn't?
I got them today. Yeah, I got them in the mail. So it took only about 2 months.
Jesus.
Yeah, the Friday the 13th set was pretty good too, but, and we were talking about this the other night, just the way that Scream Factory has people do the replacement disc thing, like, that's just bullshit, man. I'm sorry.
What do they do? I don't even know.
So, you know that Vinegar Syndrome had the deal with one of the Beastmaster discs or something like that?
Yeah.
And while they announced it, they were already mailing those discs out to people that ordered through them. So Scream Factory, and I understand Scream Factory has releases from, they release their stuff from Amazon, deep discount, whatever. Oh no, baby's back.
No, he's just trying to
get bad. I thought that was your earbuds or something going dead. That's what it sounded like. But
yeah, it's the same as my earbuds. It's constantly in my ear all the time. Yeah.
So, but you know, Scream Factory. A lot of people ordered directly from Scream Factory, and a lot of people paid a lot more money to Scream Factory for that. So, to me, I would think you already have the list of people that ordered from you. People that order from Scream Factory should have already gotten their shit. Or they should have been sold out today. So, just little things like that going off on it. But
I got to be honest with you. I have to be 100% honest about this. Like, as a company, I've never liked Scream Factory. Like, I never have. Ever since they started that shit with us.
No, I was talking about that the other night, too. I mean, the whole thing of the Silent Night, Deadly Night thing, too. And I understand we did tell people to, you know, or I told people to go shit in their box that they got from Scream Factory and send it back to them. Okay. But the peace offering was the Charles Celia interview.
Mm-hmm.
So all that came about. That was when Dead Pit wasn't even around. Right, we were just, I don't know what year they released that, but we weren't doing anything at that point in time. So I was like, we still have the website up, though, and we can get some exposure from it and all that. That's good. So the press releases and stuff, it has Dead Pit Radio interview with Chuck Cellier uncut or whatever. So I'm like, oh, cool. They'll probably put that on. That'll be what's on the back of the case. But no, it's just audio interview with Chuck Cellier. It's just another, like, you know, ball pincher, if you will. So, but I mean, as far as Dead Pit goes, what we're doing right now, I like doing, you know, live streams. We do the podcast every month or so. And we do the Patreon stuff too. Like that Patreon just started in October and is already, you know, if people are interested in that, you can just go to patreon.com/IntoTheDeadPit. And we have all the old shows are up from now, from like 2005 to 2007, I think. And we do like exclusive reviews on there as well. So I think the first batch we already did. So, I mean, I'm having fun doing this stuff, and people, there's one movie that we've got to review, that I don't think you've watched it yet. It's called The Fanatic.
I'm thinking I'm going to probably watch it either tonight or tomorrow.
And that's just going to be a really fun movie to review with you, because I know that the stuff that you like in movies, and there's one particular scene I would just love to see your face when you watch it. But I mean, the thing, the Patreon thing is something that, honestly, Dead Pit Premium, or whatever the hell we called it back in the day, it's exactly what I wanted to do back then. So, and it's a lot easier to maintain and get stuff up there and all that. So that's a big thing, I think, that is just starting, really.
Yeah, I mean, all this is kind of new. Talking about the new format that you're doing with the Patreon and all that, still trying to figure out everything, and we're still trying to create content. I'm pretty sure that everybody else except me does like individual kind of videos, and the only reason I don't get shit yet is because I don't have a good enough whatever the Wi-Fi is or whatever to be able to do that, really.
Well, I mean, it's just really, you can upload stuff too. You can record something and upload it to YouTube if you want to do that.
I think I'd about have to.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Steve. Steve does his little thing every Saturday. I don't know what the hell. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what it is, but, you know.
Fuck.
It's Captain's Corner, and he kind of just does whatever the hell. I mean, I don't know. There ain't no rhyme or reason to it. It's there. So, And the live streams and stuff are a lot of fun. So there's just so much like technology that's out now that we didn't have back then. So
yeah, it's cool. The beauty part about right now though is because everybody is investing into like doing stuff through live streams and telechat and all that shit.
Yeah.
That's what everything's in now.
It's the way it's all rolling, boss. So.
But, I mean, I'm trying to think of anything else memorable about 2020 other than the election. I'm sure nobody wants to hear about that shit.
Well, yeah, you can hear about that all day long still. There's going to be something big's coming up this week, though, regarding that. I think they're going to have some sort of big rally or something like that.
Oh, Christ, are they?
I think so. Because it's the Electoral College deal or something like that. Is that this week? Or there's something like that going on. I don't know. But it's just pure entertainment. That's all it is. We're supposed to get our stimulus checks coming in, and everybody's going to be happier than a pig and shit here in Eastern Kentucky, even if it's just $600. But you got to think it's $600 for each kid.
Son, I'm going to be so rich.
You're going to be rolling in the dough.
I'll be like Scrooge McDuck.
This kid's going to buy me a PlayStation 5. And this kid right here is going to buy me a Vinegar Syndrome subscription.
That's right.
That's but seriously, just think though. I mean, if it wasn't for Mitch McConnell, we could have gotten $2,000 per kid.
I was thinking about that, man, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, that guy. Why the fuck do people keep electing him?
I don't know. Like, well, sure, the thing is now he's elected now too. He's dead. Because, yes. I mean, he's got 6 more years. He ain't probably going to live 6 more years.
Oh, there's no way.
Or he could be one of those guys that'll run again in 6 years. He's like fucking immortal or something.
He's like the Highlander, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, there wasn't really anything else major in the horror world that went down. Something else that we could do for future podcasts, though, I think it'd be kind of fun. Is the years that we missed the year in reviews, the ones that we didn't do a show, like 2006, it'd be what, 2016, 17, 18, and 19.
That's a good idea, man.
Maybe we can catch up on those years some throughout 2021. So that might be a good idea to do a series of shows. I've also got the idea, and I don't know, you didn't really respond to this, so I don't know if you really like this or not, to do a complete series of reviews on all of the Amityville movies, including the ones that they're making today, like Amityville Clown House and shit.
Amityville Skating Rink.
Yeah.
I would love to do that. Because I've got Amityville Dollhouse here, because that was one of the ones I got for Savannah.
I'm not shitting you. There is a movie called Amityville Clown House.
Oh, there really is?
Yes.
I thought you were just making that up.
No. It's got like a CGI clown on the front of it.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
How many of these fucking things is there? Like, of the horrible...
Well, the good thing is Tubi has like all of them, so you wouldn't have to really buy them. So...
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to Tubi.
God.
So, I think that's a good idea, too, so... But yeah, I mean, we'll have hopefully a lot of just different content up this year, and 2021 will be better than 2020.
I'm going to definitely second that, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's all. You got anything else you want to mention on here?
I can't think of anything. 2020 blew. Hopefully 2021 don't.
I know. All right. Well, until the next show, which we'll probably do some live streaming or something. I don't know. We don't ever have any of this shit scheduled out. But I guess we will see you next time. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm Uncle Bill.
And you've been listening to the original Horror Talk Radio Show over at deadbit.com.
what you came to see, in what you wanna be. I don't like what I see. Do out and seek your truth.